What will it be when life on earth is over? What will it be when I see my Lord? Oh, how I want to live with Thee forever. Oh, how I want to walk upon Thy shore. Though my life on earth will be over, oh, what joy to be with my Lord, there to see all the saints gone before me. What will it be when life on earth is over? What will it be when I see my Lord? Oh, how I want to live with Thee forever. Oh, how I want to walk upon Thy shore.
I didn't know if I could do that, but the Lord gave me that this afternoon. I wanted to sing it. It was so precious. The Lord gave me that little song, and it's true. You know, how many times do we ask ourselves, what will it be when life on earth is over? I have a little message tonight on judgment, and I want it to be encouraging. And I want to start about the heavenly side. I don't know how much... if I'll read all the scriptures I have, but just pray for me. The Lord will lead me to what He has for us. But in Hebrews, I'm talking and thinking about the heavenly country. You know, when you're really saved and sanctified, and you know that it's inevitable that someday you will die, but heaven is going to be a wonderful, wonderful place. And after the judgment... in Hebrews 11 and 16, I'm not going to read all of that faith chapter, but it just talks about different ones. It talks about Enoch was translated. It talks about Noah. It talks about Abraham. And all these had faith in God. And, you know, it goes on to say that they look for a city... in the 10th verse, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Talks about Sarah. And it goes on to say they all died in faith. And then it says, for they say such things, declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. That's what I'm going to talk about tonight, is that heavenly country that we're going to, that after the judgment we have something wonderful to look forward to. What will it be like to be there? You know, we sing those songs, but what really will it be like? But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. You know, as we go along in our life here, there's things that we have denied ourselves, but you know, they're very small compared to the blessing of being saved. And I know the enemy, he comes in sometimes to tempt all of us. All the way through our life, we're tempted with things, but we don't have to yield to them. But they're very small things that we have given up for the Lord compared to the great blessing that we have in our soul. And, you know, we sing that song, if I had 10,000 lives, I'd give them all to Thee. And that truly is true. But they seek a heavenly country, and that's the way it is with us. People don't always understand us, but we're seeking a heavenly country. And we're desiring a better country than this world. A better life, a better promise of something greater. And we just know it's going to be wonderful. And Hebrews 10, we want to read a little bit there in the 34th verse of Hebrews 10, 34 and 35. It says, "For ye had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." You know, we don't want the enemy to cause us to slip up or lose our reward. We don't want to cast away our confidence. We don't want to give up, because we know we have a wonderful reward coming. It's a reward, and we want to get that reward. We want to make it to heaven, and we want to keep heaven in view, like the song says. But it says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance." Why, you know, we think about this world, and we hear of wars and rumors of wars and all the wickedness we hear about. And, you know, I mean, who would really want to stay here forever? But we have somewhere we want to go after this life is over. Not that we don't enjoy our life, not that we don't put our best foot forward and do the very best we can, but really, if you're real spiritual-minded, you really want to go to heaven someday. And you want to think about what you're going to. You're going to a heavenly reward. And it's really sad that a lot of people in this world that are not saved are going to miss this reward. They're going to miss eternal blessings. They're going to end up in eternal damnation. And that's so sad. It's more than sad. It's horrible that people are going to miss this wonderful, wonderful reward of heaven. We want to read over here in Revelations a little bit. I just want to talk about heaven a little bit before I started. You know, I don't know all about heaven, because, you know, we just don't. But all thing we know is what we read. But I know one thing, that God said he was preparing something for us. And I know that he made a wonderful world here. I'm not talking about the wickedness, but he made a wonderful world, a beautiful grass, beautiful flowers, beautiful trees, and beautiful fruit of all kinds and food of all kinds. And he created us, and he just prepared everything, didn't he? Before he created Adam and Eve, he prepared everything for them. He made a beautiful world, and God did that. And if he did that for us here in this world, which is not enduring, it's not something that's going to pass away, he's got some great thing for us, saints, something that's worth everything to stay saved and be and prepare for that. And in Revelations 21, over here it says in the 21st chapter of 21 and 21 at Revelations, it says here, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." I think about one of our songs that we sing, that we stand upon the sea of glass. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I just believe that the most beautiful things that God could have there, he's going to have there. Transparent glass, gold, or all these things, pearls, you know, just even beyond our imagination, he's going to have a beautiful place for us. And, you know, it's just wonderful. And it says, "I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." There's going to be so much light from Jesus Christ that you won't need the sun there. You won't need the moon like we need it here, because he is the light. And, you know, we are in the light because we love the truth. That's how we can see the light, is that if you walk in the light, you'll have light. And that's the way Jesus, he's going to be illuminating the place. We won't need a sun no more. We won't need a moon no more. That he's going to be the light. And it says, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there." But it says, "And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it." Now it says here, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." This is a very important thing, that we are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we know that, you know, and the sectism, they have to join a church and they put their names on the register of that book. But saints, we do not do that. We want to be in the Book of Life. We don't need to be in a man's book, but we are in the Book of Life. And we've seen that in our lot of times. My name is in the Book of Life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubt and strife and read my title clear. That's so important to be in that Book of Life. And in the reward, like it says in the 12th verse of the 22nd chapter of Revelation, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. You know, that's just so wonderful. The Lord, I want to read a little bit more about, in the 19th verse it said, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. That's why it's very, very serious for us to take away from the Bible or change it or say that's not in the Bible and all that. God doesn't, he wants truth. You know, I've always loved the truth, and I want the truth to go forward among all the saints, and I believe the truth is going forward, and that's my heart's desire, because this is the truth. This is what God's revealed to us, the true church of God. And what makes the true church of God is teaching the Bible the correct way, teaching all of the Bible, not just what we want, but all of it, and accepting it. And that's what makes us saints of God, because we teach the truth. And that's a wonderful thing. I want to go, just wanted to start out a little, not all the Bible's encouraging, but you know, judgment can be a little strong. So, but anyway, we want to read over here in Matthew 24 and 30. We want to read a little bit about the end of time. It says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, how did the angels speak in Acts 1? What did they say about Jesus when he left? They said, when the disciples were looking, after Jesus told them that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon them, and they would be witnesses in Jerusalem, and the ninth verse, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, and which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So, it is true. This is how the end of time is going to happen. The Lord is going to appear, the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You know, I was thinking about when we hear news, sometimes we hear an earthquake has hit somewhere, or some bad tornadoes tore up when it went through, was it Joplin in that area last year? And we hear all this, and it makes the news. Well, you know, this would make the news, but it's not going to have time to make the news. You know what I mean? Because all the world, when it happens, it's just going to happen so fast, and they're going to be right where the judgment's going to hit them, right kind of life they are. Either they're saved or they're not saved. They're either a sheep or a goat. It's just, that's it. It's going to hit so fast, it's not going to have time to make the news. It's going to be the greatest glory and the greatest power you ever seen. It's going to be a shaken time. It's going to be, if we weren't saved, we would be trembling. We would be trembling. But it's going to be so wonderful when we can welcome Jesus with a pure heart and say, even so, come, Lord. Whether we're dead or whether alive at that time, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. Lord could come any time. But, you know, we just don't know when he's going to come. But it says here, he shall come how? Is he going to come with power and great glory. He's coming with lots of angels, and he's coming with power and great glory. There's not anyone, no matter in this world, kings, queens, the highest great men and women, they're not going to be able to say, "Now wait a minute, Jesus, you got to give me a little more time to get straightened out." They're not going to be able to bargain with God. They're not going to be able to say anything. They're going to be speechless. I don't care how great they are. I don't care how much money they got. I don't care how rich they are. You know, some of these rich men in this world, and we know you've heard of some of them, and they can do a lot with their money, and they can just be real big and real great and think that they can just buy things and buy big islands and buy big things, and they're just carried away with their money. But all that money's doing them no good when God comes. It won't do them any good at all. They can't buy their way into heaven. They can't bargain with God. This is the end of time. The judgment has come. So ever we meet God, that's what will happen, right? Ever we meet God. I don't understand everything. I don't understand. Sometimes I wonder, we might wonder about ourselves individually, why God plucked us out of certain families, why he saved us, why he revealed the truth to us, why we're among the saints, or why, but we are so grateful that the Lord has spared our lives and that he showed us the truth and revealed it to us and put the fear of God in our hearts. Do you ever kind of wonder about yourself? You wonder why you're so different from the world, why you are saved, why the Lord showed you this revelation? Well, it's a wonderful blessing. It's a wonderful blessing because this is going to happen. The great judgment day is going to come. Oh, I tell you, do you ever get weary wearing your long sleeves? Do you ever think, oh, how come I have to? Or just think, well, Lord, I want to please you. I'm not weary in it. I'm not weary in it. It's okay. I want to please you, Lord. I don't want to dress like the world. I want to look like them. I want to be like Jesus wants me to be. Not only that, there's many things the saints are. We're just different. But you know what? At the judgment day, the world that's not saved, they will be very glad if they were saved, wouldn't they? They will be very glad. And if they're lost, it's going to be a horrible thing. Do we believe these things? Do we believe? We're going to have Easter pretty soon. Do we believe that Jesus died and rose again? Do we believe he's just waiting to come? He's coming someday. I just got so happy sitting in the car. I was sitting in the car singing that little song the Lord gave me. And the Lord just blessed my soul so much. I thought, oh, the Lord is so sweet. He's so wonderful. He's so wonderful. I'll tell you, he's coming in power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This is going to be a great thing, the judgment day, the great judgment day. And it says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. Wake up. We need to wake up and realize that summer is nigh. We know when we see these flowers coming up, springtime is coming. It has been a little cold, but springtime is coming. And when we see, we have knowledge and understanding that God has given us that summer is nigh. Well, I'll tell you what, the judgment is nigh. It's even at the doors. It says here, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So you ever hear someone start telling on the news or something, Jesus is coming such and such a date? They don't know. Nobody knows. Only his Father knoweth. That's what the Bible says. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Let's turn over here to Genesis What was it like at Noah's time? Excuse me. In Genesis 6, 5, we're just going to read a little bit there. It says, God saw, in Genesis 6 and 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. I'd have to say I believe that there's some people in this world today that's like that. There's no honesty about them. There's no truth about them. They're wicked. They love wickedness. They love filth that's horrible. They have evil spirits going on, evil continually. It says, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. You know, that was not a small thing for God. Because when God made the world in the beginning, he said everything was good. And it is good. The good things he created, and he loved it. He said it was good. He was happy about it. But now it just grieved him so much when he saw the wickedness and the people's hearts and the evil. And he just was sad. And he was grieved. And he just wanted to get rid of all of it. But there was one man, Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, dear ones, we want to be like that when Jesus looks down upon this world. And he sees all this wickedness and he sees their imaginations. I want him to look at the saints. I want him to look at us and think, but there's my people. They love me. They think about me a lot. Their mind is on me. They're always doing good. They're always living right. They always love the Lord. And I want him to think about us and find grace. Let's find grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it said, it goes on about Noah, and it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. You know, we want to walk with God. Walk with him, study his Bible, live with him always, every day. Walk with the Lord, talk to the Lord. We never know when we're going to need him really fast. Emergencies come up, you know, and we need the Lord right away. We want to walk with God so he'll hear our prayers. You know, this tells a little bit about Noah, but I want to go back. I let you be the judge, of what you think this world is like right now. But it says that if you will think about Noah, it said that it'll be the same way at the end of time. As in the days, it said, but as the days of Noah were, back in Matthew 24, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. 38th verse, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. Have you ever seen so many eating? And I love to eat. I love food. And I'm not going to criticize any of that, but I'm just saying, have you ever seen so many choices and so many restaurants? And you get a big family together and you try to go out to eat, and it may take you a half an hour to figure out which one, because one person likes this, one person likes the other. And you finally, you just have to submit your will and say, I don't eat wherever you want to eat, I'll figure something out. But what I'm trying to say, can you imagine? I remember years ago, and I'm not all that old, but, you know, when I was a little girl, and I lived in Michigan, and we would take a trip to West Virginia. That's where my grandparents were, and that was my highlight of the year. That was our vacation, go see Grandma. I was so excited. And I remember I was the type that I liked to go out to eat. I didn't get to do that much. I didn't go to get a hamburger much, you know. So as soon as I get down the road just a little ways, I told Daddy I was hungry. I wasn't that hungry. But I wanted to stop and get a hamburger. That was exciting to me. Mom, she still laughs about it. She says, honey, we just get in the car a little ways, and you tell Daddy he was hungry. Do you want to stop at the hamburger place? But there wasn't very much. What I'm trying to say, in my day, there wasn't very much. That's all I remember is maybe a little hamburger place somewhere. Maybe you all remember. I'm talking about, you know, quite a ways ago. Maybe like 50 years ago. But, you know, still, that's true. There wasn't that many. But look at it today, eating and drinking. And not just eating, but drinking this liquor and all this stuff. It's awful. So I'll let you be the judge. You think there's a lot of eating and drinking? You know, the people, they eat and they drink and they rise up and play. They got their hearts set on pleasure seeking all the time. Terrible. Marrying and giving in marriage. Now, this is another thing. If you don't like your marriage, get out of it, get you another one. There's some people that have been married 3 and 4 times. They take marriage like going steady. Breaking up. Here's your ring back. When I wasn't saved, you know, I had a ring, but here's your ring back. It's over. Don't have a ring now, you know, but what I'm trying to say is they take marriage like going steady. Marriage is more serious than that. God will put you in judgment with your marriage. You have to consider God in this. God said, let not man put asunder. He said it was not. It's not his will for divorce. He wants you to do your very best. But some people just give it up and go get someone else. The only way we can get married again, according to the Bible, the only way and be free and clear with God is, I feel, is death. If they're dead, you're free to marry. And God will bless you. That's the only way that you're free. Ministers had a meeting in Monarch one summer. And I don't know if I need to say what they said. But anyway, it came to the conclusion. They were discussing that scripture. Is there any out of this? Or can you just, you know. And finally, one brother said something. That just put a, the only way is death. According to the Bible, and you know there's a lot of churches that squirm around this and make loopholes, but this is why we teach the truth. And I'm not here to teach that message, but I completely, but just part of it. Given in marriage, adultery is on the rampage. Oklahoma is one of the worst places for divorce. Do you know that? Statistics? And we're supposed to be a Bible state. Then what kind of religions do we have around us? What kind of ministers are preaching to us? Some of them are probably in adultery. You see how serious it is? Well, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, they continued their wickedness. They did not listen to Noah. Was not Noah preaching to them? Was not Noah telling them? Didn't they see this big ship he was making, this big boat? And they made fun of Noah. They laughed at him. They paid no attention to him whatsoever. They just continued. You know, they look upon us. I'm sure people look at the saints and say, oh, you don't need to do all that and get to heaven. You don't have to dress like that. You don't have to deny yourself. You know, I feel like we need to go after righteousness. We need to go after holiness because the enemy fights us and we have to do it. We need to do it. We need to get closer to the Lord. We need to work on it, and I know myself, I have to stir myself up and read the Bible, study the Bible, and read the commentaries, and I have to do that. The Lord wants me to do that, and he stirs me to do that. You know, saints, we have to stir ourselves to take hold of God. We're living in a world that there's evil spirits all around us, and we want to make it to heaven. So, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's what's going to happen. They're just going to continue. Some people will continue living until God comes. You know, I don't know why some of us, I know many of you even were raised with saints from a child up. And why we have the fear of God upon us, thank God we do. Why do we have this love that God has put in our heart for God? I'm so thankful we have that. Sister Janine shaking her head. I'm so thankful that we have that. I'm so thankful. And saints, I'm just getting excited about, I believe God's going to bless us this summer with some really He's been blessing us, but you know, the meetings that's coming up and all, God just, it's been giving me encouragement. He's really going to bless us and give us what we need. And oh, he's so good. God is so good. But anyway, it said, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready, for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Not very long ago, we felt an earthquake out where we live. He's felt it more than I have, but I wasn't home sometime when he felt it. But I felt one of them. And you know, I don't know if they're coming from the drilling out that way or they're really coming from the earth. But they said, Jerry told me that they said that they're pretty positive sure that's not coming from the drilling. That there's earthquakes in Guthrie. You know what I'm trying to say? There'll be earthquakes in diverse places, or I would take that means different places, unusual places. Well, to me, it's unusual for us to have earthquakes. It's usual. For California to have them. And when Elizabeth was in our family and alive, Elizabeth Cordaway, she was a Forbes before that, but she would tell me about the earthquakes out there in California, how she had to put up her dishes and secure things in the house and get ready. And when she came back here to visit in Oklahoma, she would get her house ready in case an earthquake come. It would not break certain dishes she had or what she loved. You know, there was earthquakes out there. It was a very normal thing. But here in Guthrie, what I'm trying to say is there's unusual. There was tornadoes down there in Virginia area, which usually there was not tornadoes down that area. And I'm just saying, is the Lord trying to wake people up? Lord, help us. What can we do? We know we're ready and all that and all, but what can we do to some family members or people that are not saved? Maybe we can help them. The Lord is coming. Let's read that scripture. It says in the fourth verse of that same chapter, the sixth verse, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Isn't that the truth? Is there any more false prophets? It's weary. It's tiring. And family relations sometimes to hear people quote from these false prophets. You know, it's just weary to hear that. You just, because you know the truth. Thank God for the truth. But many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Why would your love wax cold? Because iniquity is abounding. Lord, help us. Is it the spirit of the world? Is it the spirit of the age? But he that shall endure, we have to endure some things. I'm telling you, saints, I think we have to endure persecution. We have to endure the false doctrines around us. It's not pleasant, is it? Isn't that kind of enduring? We have to endure some of those things that we don't like, some of our families that we're trying to teach the truth to, and they don't understand, and we have to endure that. We have to work with that. It's enduring. Stand saved. Stand encouraged. You have to endure some things. You have to be a good soldier. The same shall be saved. Okay, I want to read a scripture over here. You pray for me because I just want to be led by the Lord, but I feel led to read this in Daniel. In Daniel in the 12th chapter. It says in the second verse of the 12th chapter, this is a prophecy, and it says, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Do you know, when my mother told me, when she was a little girl, my mother's 80 years old, she'll be 81 in June. My mother told me when she was a little girl, they didn't even have television. I think she was like a teenager or getting up there close to 20 years old or something like that. She was born in 1930, in the early 30s. But she said television wasn't invented and come along when she was about a teenager. She's a little girl. They didn't even have television. And from that, it just went on and on for a while that way. Then all of a sudden, we got the computer age. And I use the computer. That's profitable for profitable things. But I'm very, very careful. I have no desire to use it. And I'm going to say this, and I'm not saying, when preachers say things, sometimes they're, I don't know how to say this, but I'm just going to say it like I'm going to say it. I am not on Facebook because I choose not to be. I feel like the Lord told me personally to stay away from it. I don't have time for it. Because the Lord has called me into the ministry, and if I'm going to have time to be, I'm afraid of getting so caught up in it. But if you can use it and be temperate in it, I'm not putting that on you. I'm just telling you how the Lord dealt with me. Maybe there's a reason he dealt with me that way. One reason being a minister, it would be, maybe I don't need to go into that. But I just feel like the Lord told me. I have seen, though, with this knowledge increasing, we need to be very, very careful. Because it can take up too much of our time. If we can use it, and I know that some people use it as sending family members, send pictures and things, and it can be a blessing that way. I can see that. But then also I can see sometimes that when family's together and everybody's they got their iPads or their, and it's this way with a lot of families, and the texting all the time. You're trying to communicate with them, but there's so much on their telephone texting to other people, or they're looking at their Facebook, and you're thinking, hey, I'm here only for a little while. Speak to Mama a little bit. I mean, I get in trouble here maybe with some people, but I'm just saying, wake up. We need to be careful. Knowledge is increasing. Is that really good for us? Well, some of it can be a blessing to us. I mean, I want to be real balanced. As I know, I use the computer some. It helps us. I can search. It's amazing how you can get on there and search. Jerry bought me a little Kindle. I can search. Actually, I'm getting ready to read something I searched. It was about the Lord. It was about a poem about judgment. I searched it on my Kindle, and I got it. Can I find this poem? I read the title. There it was. So I'm saying it is wonderful if we use it right. But be careful, saints. There's a spirit. I really believe there's a spirit that's trying to get us too involved and take away from time with Jesus. We need to be inspired. We need special singing. I know we have beautiful voices. When I'm preaching to you, I'm not just preaching to Guthrie. But I'm just saying that we have beautiful voices. And I wish all along, I told some of my girls, I said, I've got a song. I wish you could sing for the Lord. And then I know a little girl came to me, and she said she's going to try to get some of them to sing that song. And I appreciate that because I feel like we need spiritual inspiration. We need singing. Our meetings come up. We need to get prepared for them. Learn some new songs, Get inspired. Take time to be with Jesus. Take time to be holy. And, speak off with the Lord. And ministers need to dig more and get messages from God. And we all just need to do it. I'm preaching to myself. We all have to stir ourselves. But, you know, knowledge is going to be increased. And if knowledge is not increased, it is amazing how knowledge has been increased. Not only that, with just the palm of your hand and that those telephone. I have a telephone because I'm in real estate with my husband. We're trying to get out of it. But I've got it, and I have to deal with it for a little while. But I'm telling you what, you can search things right in the palm of your hand, emails. I get so weary with them sometimes, I don't even look at them no more. I told my husband, I'll be glad if I could get rid of this someday. But you know, well, I said, well, you're living in the real world. You know what? Well, I'm in the real world. But you know what? I want to be in the spiritual world, saints. We got to get ourselves disconnected a little bit. Ask the Lord to help us. I just don't think it's good for our souls. We got to stir ourselves, don't we, Sister Charlotte? Get ourselves disconnected a little bit. You know, sometimes I tell you, sometimes when I have to go shopping or grocery store or something, I say, you know what? I'm putting this phone on the floorboard of my car right there, and I'm not taking it with me. And I might be in that store an hour or two, but praise the Lord. If I get a message, I can look at it later. You know, I just want to be free. Free, free, free. Did you want to be free? Maybe we need to start singing the song, free from the Facebook, free from the text, I'm free from it all. Maybe we need to add some more verses to that song. Free from the cell phone, free from the emails. Oh, glory to God, I'm free. You know what? It's not going to hurt you at all to be free for a little while. Try it out. Get free for a couple hours and talk to Jesus. Maybe I said enough about that. But I believe if you look real deep in your heart, you'd agree with me. If some of it is good, I'm not saying that some of it is good. I use it. But let's be careful. Let's be careful. Oh, it says, knowledge shall be increased. Revelations 21 and 10. Lord, help us. Okay, let's go on. I think I read some of that before. Let's read to 22, and it says the 19th verse. And if any man shall take away, I read that too, but that's really good. Away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. The reason I want to read that again too, because that is very, very important. That we preach the Bible and nothing but the Bible. And keep it straight and keep it holy and keep the truth going. Keep the truth. This is God commissioned. He left us to do that. He wants us to teach it right. I'm going to read just a little bit more in Matthew. There's got more scriptures, but God said in Romans 14, 8 through 13, that every knee shall bow. Romans 14, I'll read that before I go to Matthew. Romans 14 and for it is written, the 11th verse, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account to himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We need to help one another, love one another, forgive one another, bear with one another, and not judge one another. God is judging us. We don't need to judge our brother or judge our sister. God is judging us. God knows what every one of us is doing all the time. He's judging us. But every one of us shall give an account of who? Himself. or herself to God. Himself means her in the Bible too. We're not left out because we're a woman. Himself, herself, we're all going to give an account to God. Okay, a little bit more, Matthew. This is about the judgment, the end of time. You believe the end of time is near? I do. Matthew 25 and 31, it says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left." You know, right is going to be right all the way through, isn't it? If you're right with God, you're right. You're on the right side. And this is another reason. This is kind of an old school teaching that the saints told me. I don't know. You probably have heard of it. Some of you, I'm sure all of you. And this is why we don't call our children kids. Because kid is a baby goat. And the saints have always called their children children. They always taught us not to call our children kids. Because we're not going to classify them as goats. It might sound kind of funny, but it's part of our language that this, I know Brother Jim's kind of smiling, but I think they taught us that. Don't call your children a kid. It's kind of like you hear in the world, oh, those kids. I wish those kids would straighten up. It's almost like a slang word toward them. But you know, they're precious little children. They're not kids. They're not goats. "And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and he gave me meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and he took me in. I was naked, and he clothed me. I was sick, and he visited me. I was in prison, and he came unto me. Then shall the righteous say, answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink?" You know what I take from this? I think the spirit of the saints is just a generosity spirit and a hospitality spirit. They just have it in them. And, you know, we don't know what each one of us is always doing. But you'll be surprised. People are doing things. and they're doing as the Lord leads them. And their hands are working busy. And their feet are busy doing what the Lord wants them to do. You don't always know what your brothers and sisters are doing. But the Lord knows. But this is the kind of spirit that the saints have. Someone needs something. The Lord talks to their heart and they fulfill that need. We all can't do the needs at certain times, but we all can do what God tells us to do, what God puts on our heart to do. You know, I was so blessed just recently, something that happened. I can't tell the details of it. I wouldn't want to think I was boasting or something. But anyway, what the Lord laid on my heart, I did it. And I sat in the car at the parking lot at Walmart afterwards, and the Lord just started blessing me. I thought I was way too busy and way too tired, but I did it anyway. And the Lord started pouring a blessing on me. You know, isn't he so good? Isn't he so sweet? Jesus loves us. He loves us when we obey him and put him first. He is our priority. And when the Lord speaks to our heart, we want to listen to the Lord. But this is kind of the spirit that the saints have. I was a hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was in prison, you came unto me. There's lots of people who are in prison. Literal prison and prison of sin. I don't know. There's so much to do, Lord. Help us to know what you want us to do. "Then shall the righteous say, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also the ones on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting life, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, ye gave me no meat. Hard-heartedness. People are hard-hearted that aren't saved many times. They don't think of other people. They don't have any other people in their mind to comfort them or help them. They're just thinking about themselves all the time. And he said, I was stranger, you took me not in. I was naked, you clothed me not. I was sick. I was in prison, you visited me not. They said, Lord, when we saw thee, a hungered or thirst or stranger, naked or in prison, and did not minister unto thee. You know, Brother Philip's been preaching about as ministers of God, that we're all ministers. And then he said, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as he did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. There shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. I know that's probably not the only thing that God judges people, but it's one of them. And I want to read this little poem that I got off my Kindle that Jerry got me for Christmas. I know. See, I'm trying to be balanced. Then I say it, I got something good off it. Okay, I dreamed that the great judgment morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. I dreamed that all nations had gathered to judgment before the white throne. From the throne came a bright shining angel and stood on the land and the sea and swore with her hand raised to heaven that time was no longer to be. And oh, what weeping and wailing as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayers were too late. The rich man was there, but his money had melted and vanished away. A pauper stood there in the judgment. His debts were too many to pay. The great man was there, but his greatness, when death came, was left far behind. The angel that opened the records, no trace of his greatness could find. The widow was there and the orphan. God heard and remembered their cries. No sorrow in heaven forever. God wiped all the tears from their eyes. The gambler was there and the drunkard, and they who had sold them the drink, who with people who gave them the license to gather in hell, they did sink. The moral man was at the judgment, but self-righteousness would not do, for the men who had crucified Jesus had passed off as mortal men do. And the souls that had put off salvation, not tonight, I'll get saved by and by. No time now to think of religion. At last they had found time to die. And oh, what a weeping and wailing. As the lost were told of their fate, they cried for the rocks and the mountains. They cried for the rocks and the mountains. They cried, but it was too late. Anyway, I got that little about the judgment poem. Anyway, I hope this blessed you some way, maybe stir you up to think about. There is a judgment coming, so be faithful to the Lord, and you'll reap a great reward.